Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, February 13th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our good friend, Olga Menza, bilingual 4-H associate educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Olga, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Really do appreciate you being here, Olga, and certainly appreciate the work that you and Laura and all of our friends at 4-H do. We've talked with Laura a lot about 4-H and the impact it has not only on our futures, but our kids and really our communities. And so many levels. And what we're going to do right now a little bit is get to know you a little bit better and talk about some of the events you've been doing recently and kind of get into some of that and the work that's been going on. So, Olga, let's begin with you and talk a little bit about you and what you bring to the table here.
Yeah, definitely. So I just completed the 8 sessions at the school, Tools to Thrive, and it went really well. It was my first time, so...
Can you tell us what those are, what those is for the audience that doesn't
definitely.
Know?
Definitely. So it's just bringing resources to the students. Right now I'm working with the high schoolers in Marshfield, and I mainly work with the Hispanic Latino students. A lot of them are struggling with language barrier. A lot of them just migrated here, so they're also adjusting to the culture and the school system. And so we go there for 1 hour a week, and then we bring those tools to Thrive, which is like resources to like just help them better adapt to the school system. And also, like, if they're already like been here for like a year and a half, like, you know, how do we get them to graduate on time? And also if they have like, you know, hopes or dreams of going to college and how I can, you know, lead them to that pathway as well. Mm-hmm. So I bring all kind of resources. So every session is different. So when I walk into the class the first time, like I get to know the students and, you know, ask them like, you know, what they want to learn about. And also like I did a SMART goals with them. Mm-hmm. So that way I can kind of see like, okay, what are their goals? Like what do they want me to bring, you know, to the school so I can teach them? And a lot of them focus a lot on like in, you know, how to graduate, because mm-hmm. the system here is so different than their country. And I'm working with like multiple different Hispanic Latina students who are from different countries. So I'm also learning like, you know, their systems. And, you know, actually a lot of them, like by the age of 16, 17, they graduate already. So mm-hmm. here's a little different because it's a little longer. And so I have to like, you know, explain to them the credits, you know, how they work, and the classes that they have to take. Also, I had one student who just turned 18, and so he really was like in the point of just dropping out already mm-hmm. because work was important for him mm-hmm. and his family. So I talked to him and the teachers, and I said to him like, you know, you only have like 2.5 more credits to graduate, like why not finish? Mm-hmm. So this poor student didn't even know he only needed 2.5 credits. You know, he had no idea. So once I, you know, communicated that with him and told him, like, let me help you, you know, finish or get you caught up where you need to be. And so I had to, like, intervene a little bit. And so now the student is still there and I'm hoping that he will graduate this May with the rest.
Man, is that a good story.
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
I know. So that's, like, one of the things that we do to motivate students to finish. And
it's also a great example of the importance of this and not only having this in our society and having more of these things in our society, but the importance of 4-H and the work that you guys are doing over there. That just even taking this mm-hmm. one story, that individual mm-hmm. goes on to school, graduate, goes on either to college or to the workforce, mm-hmm. and they become a taxpayer and they put into their economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is first off, this is the story of America. This is our country. Yeah. This is what we're built on. Mm-hmm. We're built on these stories. We're built on these types of individuals, definitely. First and foremost. And it's just the right thing to do. Right. But if you need if I need to reach you at your wallet, then the economic impact mm-hmm. it makes and the taxpayer impact it makes, those are all important. And and even on another level, and I'll admit to the audience, I'm a little biased on this one. Mm-hmm. This is an important topic to me.
Right.
One, because of where our country has been going, not recently, for decades, mm-hmm. for decades and decades, the most popular language in America is Spanish.
Yeah.
And yet so many of our individuals in this country either don't understand Spanish mm-hmm. or not, there isn't a translation for them if they need it.
Right.
And that's key to this. And I think there is such a relatable level to this. I've talked about it a little bit before, but mm-hmm. Where I'm from Chicago. I'm from a melting pot. Mm-hmm. I grew up a lot.
Me too.
Right on. I grew up around a lot of languages. And most of my friends growing up mm-hmm. were Spanish of one different descent, Puerto Rican, Cuban, a lot of these things.
Right.
And each one of them speak a very different type type of Spanish.
Yeah, different dialect for sure.
And I came from a mixed family where you had Hebrew and Italian thrown around all over the place, some Spanish here and there. I mean, we had all types of different languages. When I moved up to central Wisconsin, where they really only had one essential language and one style of language, I actually, in sixth grade, they put me, or fifth grade actually, or no, sixth grade, they put me into a speech class.
Okay.
Because they didn't think that I was understanding the language well enough. I'm 4 hours away.
Yeah.
But they were doing the best they can. That's not on them. They were doing the best they could with the situation, trying to help me because I was
More like a city Chicago accent.
Yeah. And my understanding stuff wasn't there. I'm born and raised in this country. I've never left this country.
Yeah.
And even I had struggles with the language.
Yes.
Imagine some of these other individuals. And I don't see why this is a divisive topic, but if it is to you out there, we're talking about kids.
Yeah.
We're talking about teens and kids and everything. And I don't think there's anything divisive about that.
Right.
Those are kids that deserve an opportunity, deserve to be everything that we have, you know, and we couldn't or we didn't have.
Yeah, because they're definitely our future. You know, they're our next generation.
Yep.
So.
I looked this up. I double checked. And it turns out the kids are the future, Olga.
Yes.
So this is the least we can do is doing some of these things. And some other events that you've been a part of, too. I wanted to touch on some of those. The Tools to Thrive are great, though. I do appreciate you kind of giving us the background on that.
For sure.
You also hosted something else in November recently.
Yeah, so that was like my first event I did, Family Night for the Family Latine Latinos in Marshfield. Because I wanted to connect with the parents and I wanted to reach out and let them know who I am and what I do with their students. And right before I had the event, the students and I did like a celebration for Dia de los Muertos. So they did like an altar, which is called ofrenda. Mm-hmm. And so we studied about that. A lot of them were very familiar, but some that are not from like Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's not a third tradition. So they learned about it. And they really loved it and enjoyed it. And so I wanted the parents to come to the schools and also see like what they've been working on and, you know, what they've done. And so at first it was a little bit of difficulty, you know, reaching out to the parents. You know, they don't really have like access to the SkyWar or email. So I had to like think outside the box and, you know, so I had to create a flyer and I did it in both English and Spanish. And so I asked the teacher, the ESL teacher, to help me distribute these to the students so I can get to like their parents.
Nice.
And I also talked to my students in the class and I told them like, hey, I'm working really hard on this event and I really want your parents to participate and also you guys, because I'm going to talk a lot about like the school system, how it works, like Skyward and how to access that. And also like if you have any questions, like you can reach out to me, even if there's a language barrier, like you can come to me and then I can also be like, you know, the middle person. So so we at first didn't think we were going to get like a lot of turnout. Even the ESL teacher and the EL teacher said like, oh, we've tried this in the past and probably no more than like 10 people show up and, you know, you're spending a lot of time and I had to order food and create games and raffle giveaways and stuff like that. And so I didn't notify the students, like, it's going to be really fun. We're going to play games. Yeah. You're going to win prizes and there's going to be gift cards. And I really appreciate if, you know, if you guys would be able to attend and be there with your families. And literally, like, about 70 to 80 people showed up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so it was very impressive.
Nice. That's not how I thought the story was going to end. I was
no.
so worried about it. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, me too. I was, like, a little bit like, whoa, okay, this is great. And thankfully, I had prepared for, like, you know, food and games
nice.
And everything.
Good job.
Yeah. So, and I did invite the administrative. So we had, like, an assistant principal there as well attend. And so most of the talk that we did was in Spanish, but I did let the administrative know that this, you know, he kind of knew like the PowerPoint that we were going over. It was all about school affiliated. And I just wanted some type of administrative to be there so they can know that the parents, you know, are also important. And even if there's a language barrier, you know, they're there and that's who they can come to. And so we'll figure out how to get the communication, you know, to follow after. But he was very impressed as well. And he told me that for the future that he would like to have more administrative attend So like more of the like the secretary from the school, more like the principal and stuff. So this is really great that he was able to be there and to see, you know, the impact that the parents do have. Because I think there's like a lot of stereotypical that, you know, Hispanic Latino parents really don't, you know, care about the school or are not around or not involved in their, you know, students' education. But it's not that they don't care, it's that they don't get informed the right way. And so they don't know.
I don't, we don't, you know, we don't subscribe to stereotypes around here or anything like that. Not only as a society, but certainly here at this radio station, as long as I'm in this chair.
Yeah.
That being said, I have never met a Latino family of any, any of the great origins there or anything that isn't in tune with their family and doesn't care about their family. I feel very confident saying that.
Yeah.
To Olga's point, it's usually, it's more of so just not understanding. Just not having a an ability to understand.
Right.
Certainly the want and the passion is there.
Yes.
Just got to be able to meet people halfway.
Yeah,
just
got to
build those bridges. And that's where these events are so key.
Right.
I'm really happy for the turnout you had. Yeah. But to his point and everything, we'd like to see even better turnout because we know from our communities, and you know better than I do, Olga, how much this is needed.
Yeah, most definitely.
And do you I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but do you see more of these types of events in the future, hopefully?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We're going to be planning more of these, and I have done a couple more after this one, not as big. These were more like smaller events that I had gathered together because I had received interest from some parents that wanted to connect and wanted to learn more like on a one-on-one basis. So then I reached out to those parents and I did have like another a small celebration event for Dia de los Rosca, like Three Kings Day. So and I felt like, you know, that was a good way to get them back connected and that I also appreciate and, you know, I also want to celebrate their traditions, their culture and appreciate that. So I did another one on the first week of January.
Nice.
And so, yeah, that one was a little smaller. It was maybe like 20 people that showed up, but it was perfect because then I got to speak to the parents one-on-one, get to know them and their children. And also, it was not just like my students' parents because I met parents that were like from elementary school children and middle school. So that was really nice to connect with them as well because I'll be working with their kids in the future. And also because they were interested in the 4-H clubs and programs that I was talking about in the prior one. So that's why they wanted to.
Well, these domino effects that can happen with all of this where certainly I think that there is a pull to community and, and an attraction to community. We've seen, you know, over the last 10, 15 years a rise in a lot of the popularity of Day of the Dead and the Sugar Skulls and some of that stuff. I think that Three Kings Day has become more and more common known to people.
Yes.
So if these events kind of bring people in, that's fantastic.
Definitely.
And then while they're there finding out about 4-H and maybe becoming a part of 4-H, and certainly that domino effect. And the domino, too, that we're trying to do right here with these events, and I appreciate so much from this because not only do I think we're informing people in some ways about what these events are, what Three Kings Day is or some of that. But I think we're also showing people the path of empathy here. Because again, we're most kids nowadays, in fact, in any generation, mine, yours, any generation, had a lot put on their plate. And this has been the case, you know, going way, way, way back. Then there are different households and different situations where kids have even more put on their plate. And I don't know that a lot of people can understand, but I think some of our older generations might understand when they had German or Polish immigrants as part of their family. And as America was growing and becoming more and more English-based and they didn't have ways of dissecting this or understanding what this was, or even the reverse of that, where some areas here in Wisconsin were very Polish-centric to the point where the language was used as that, and even in the newspapers and some of that. So this has been an issue in our country for a long time, and it's something that we're addressing every day. And these events really help us do that and also helpfully create an empathy of that, of understanding of, look at what's on these kids' plates.
And
what we're asking that from them and their parents and the more times than not, it is the parents explaining something to kids. Here, kids are explaining stuff to their parents so that they can understand and have a build those bridges. This all the what you're sharing with us really gives us an idea of that.
Yeah, most definitely. And also what I noticed, like in these events, there's parents meeting each other as well, and they have other friends that they can communicate in their own language.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And even the students, like, so I teach like ninth grade, I mean, yeah, 9 till 12, all in one class, or they're all mixed, like, ages and grades, so it's a little difficult.
Wow, yeah.
And they don't really know each other, but I give them the opportunity to, you know, mingle and, communicate, and so they can learn from one another as well, and... one big topic that they talked a lot about was like, how do they get a driver's license? you know, to get around and go places, because most of, like, you know, their moms don't drive.
Right.
And that's like super, something that it's always been like, I don't know if it's just, in our tradition, like the woman really don't drive. Like my mom doesn't drive. And so.
Italian households are very similar.
Oh, okay.
My Nana was the same way. It's one of those things that, you know, just old traditions, you know, and kind of, you know, there's not to say that there is an evolution or growth there. It just takes time and younger generations and that. But that's certainly a common thing and a great example of how important this is to be able to build that bridge.
Definitely.
And I teach adults. And I have a difficult time. I can't imagine doing what that class you do. You're impressive. That is impressive. We're speaking with Olga Meza, bilingual 4-H associate with UW Extension. Also wanted to touch on not only with the third event that you hosted. I wanted to get to that, Olga, and tell people about that one.
Yeah, definitely. So
a FAFSA training.
Oh yes, yes. The most recent one I did, I facilitated a FAFSA workshop. So this was streaming like virtual, and I had a lot of parents that were interested. However, they didn't have access to connecting to like the Zoom or, you know, how to even, you know, get to the training. And it was the only training that's offered in Spanish, like through the entire 6 months that they're doing workshops. So I took advantage and I said, okay, you know what? I can facilitate it. So we went to a church and we used their gym. And so I used a television there and we connected with a FAFSA advisor. And so she was bilingual. So it was really great that parents and students were able to, you know, ask questions, and especially the really daunting questions about like immigration. You know, can they still apply if they're immigrants and if they're in the process of becoming citizens? And, you know, is there a social security needed? And all these questions were really vital to them. And so they were able to get a lot of answers. And so we are still going to work on another second FAFSA connection because it's a little difficult when you have like a different students and parents there. And actually, working with a FAFSA advisor, you need more like laptops and, you know, tablets, something so they can actually fill out the FAFSA form, because now paper form is not a thing.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Wow.
Yeah. So then I was having a hard time when I hosted this last event. I'm like, I need to print out, you know, the FAFSA applications, English and Spanish, and I could not find them anywhere. And so when I connected with the FAFSA advisor, they said because they want you to do it online, and that's the way that it gets processed fastest. And there is a way that you can get it by paper, but you have to send an email to someone in FAFSA.
Which, if you're in that situation, could be all the more difficult.
Yeah, and so I told them, I'm like, okay, we will need to have like another, like a second follow-up session so we can still like provide laptops and or tablets to the students while we have that session going, so they can go in there and then fill it out. And it's a process, actually. It's a big process, but that was a great one that we just completed, and I was happy to be able to help them, you know, learn about FAFSA and not to be scared, because a lot of them think that because of their immigration status they cannot apply. But there's different circumstances for everyone, so some can still get approved.
And what a gift to have that resource there for them, and everything, and really noteworthy too. How I appreciate you explaining how even you, who this is your wheelhouse, this is the stuff you know, and even you had to do some digging and hunting down for this one.
Exactly.
Imagine being I want our audience to imagine for these individuals in their situation and everything, without even the understanding or connections that you have and stuff.
Yeah.
It's And I hope the audience also noticed what I did in this conversation, too. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some great programs and some great things that are coming up and mm-hmm. you can look forward to. And I certainly want you to spread the word about this to individuals you know mm-hmm. really could be helped by OGA and the 4-H here. Yeah. But the above and beyond work you have mm-hmm. done with this topic and with these mm-hmm. events and everything, there is your job and then there's going above and beyond. And you really yeah. have with this. Mm-hmm. Just thank you for that. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. I say that mm-hmm. as somebody who cares about these kids, cares mm-hmm. about our future, cares about our economy, cares about all the right. things we've touched on in this conversation. Yes. That's mm-hmm. big work you're doing there. And appreciate that. And you and Laura and everybody over mm-hmm. at 4-H and the way you're impacting our kids and our communities. You're doing such good work that so much of this mm-hmm. work is like planting a tree. We're not going to know for years the impact this has truly made, right. but we're going to feel it. We're going to know. And, yeah. and we're going to be thanking you years and years. Mm-hmm. And future you is going to be getting a lot of thank you cards, a lot of thank you, a lot of good thanks and good positive thoughts. Olga, appreciate everything we've been mm-hmm. able to touch on today. If people do have follow-up questions, they would like to know more about some of the things mm-hmm. that we've talked about or upcoming events, mm-hmm. how can they reach you?
Yeah, so my contact information, my email is olga.meza@wisc.edu, or my phone number as well, 715-315-9942.
And keep in mind, you can also find out more information by going to 4h.extension.wisc.edu. That's 4h.extension.wisc.edu. Be sure to follow UW Extension on social media as well. It's a great way to share different events on your pages. People might not see it otherwise that would see it, thanks to you sharing it on your pages. Please say hi to all of our friends at Extension, and thank you so much for the time, Olga.
Thank you.
We will take a time out. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here this week at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.